In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, how would you like to help me preach today's sermon? I hear some chuckles and see some smiles, and maybe there were some eyes rolling, but I'm serious. If you will, open your hymnal to page 322. We're going to look at a couple of sections from the Catechism, page 322, the first article of the Creed. And these things tie in with the Gospel reading for today. All right, what is the first article of the Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Does that sound familiar? Well, I hope it does, because we just confessed that first article of the Creed after the Gospel reading. Now, what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this He does, the fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey Him. This is most certainly true. Okay, now who is it that does all these things for us? God. Yeah, God. He created us. He provides for our needs in this world. God does this out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. Now flip a page forward. Page 324. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Okay, now who is it that answers this fourth petition? Who is it that gives us our daily bread? God. God does it. And we won't read it, but if you go over to the head of the next column, you'll see that daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, etc., etc. Now let's look and hear the reading from the Holy Gospel. Let's contemplate this, because it has something to say about Jesus, about who Jesus is. And in Christ, we see God's provision for us, for our daily needs, but also some needs that are greater than our daily needs. Jesus had been preaching and teaching. A great crowd had gathered together to listen to Him preach and teach. He was out far from the towns in a deserted place. It could be in the wilderness somewhere. At any rate, there were no grocery stores nearby, and should I say Food Lions nearby, or Harris Teeter's nearby. No. No, not at all. They were far from town. And at the end of 3 days, they had nothing left to eat. Well, Jesus did not say to them, go, be well fed, God bless you, and I hope you make it home okay. No. He called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on this crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. That is no accident that the crowd had been with him 3 days. When you hear 3 days, think resurrection. The resurrection of Christ our Lord on the first day of the week. Now the word compassion, what does it mean? Well, passion in the Greek and also in English today does not necessarily mean, oh, passion for someone. Oh, I love you. Scarlett O'Hara and Rhett Butler. Passion here means suffering. We speak of the passion of our Lord in Holy Week, his suffering, his death, all the things he endured as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, so we're talking about suffering, but what does that com mean? It means to suffer with. It means that Jesus, who would suffer on the cross for the sins of the world, took into himself and felt the needs of this crowd who had not eaten for 3 days, who had been so focused on the word he was teaching and preaching that they had apparently forgotten about food. And now the preaching and teaching had ended and he was sending them on their way. To give you an idea of what this is going to be like, today's service will run for 3 days. And I bet you will be hungry at the end of those 3 days. No, we won't do that. But anyway, Jesus says they have nothing to eat, and if I send them away hungry without food to their homes, they will faint on the way. Okay, it's test time again. In the explanation of the first article of the Creed, who is it that gives us our souls, our bodies, who provides us with all the things we need to support our body and life in this world? God. And in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, who is it that gives us our daily bread? I hope you're starting to see a connection here. And if you haven't seen the connection yet, you will in just a little bit. Okay, some of them have come from far away, Jesus says. You know, they didn't just pop up from a village a mile or two away. Some have come much further than that, maybe a day's journey, maybe a two-day journey to hear Jesus preach and to receive the benefits of his teaching regarding the kingdom of God. They were eager to hear what Jesus had to say. You know, this is what we do in the divine service. We come to hear Jesus. We come because Jesus is here present among us in the preaching of the word, in the sacrament of the altar. Jesus is here, and you know what? At the end of the divine service, he does not send us away hungry. No, he has fed us with the life-giving word of the gospel to strengthen our faith in him. He feeds us with his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament of the altar. And these things are the food that endure to eternal life. How can we feed these people who have come from far away? His disciples ask that question. How is it possible here in this deserted place to provide these people with food? Oh, you silly disciples! Two chapters earlier, Jesus had fed a multitude again. And after he had fed them, there were 12 basketfuls gathered from the fragments that remained from this meal for 5,000 people plus women and children besides. And the disciples said, well, how are we going to do this? Well, Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? And a loaf of bread at that time was more like a dinner roll. It wasn't a big loaf like you would get at Atlanta Bread Company or buy in the deli section of the grocery store. Food Lion, for example, or Harris Teeter. Seven, they said. Seven. And a question asked by the disciples in one of the other accounts of this feeding is, but what are they among so many people? Jesus takes over. And in the church, Jesus is the one who takes over. He is the Lord of the church. He is the Lord of your, excuse me, he is the Lord of your life. He is the one who helps me clear my throat. The church is Jesus' church, bought with his own holy and precious blood. He has paid a great price for you. The price of his suffering and death on the cross. You know, it's Jesus' church. Jesus is in charge. And Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do with these seven little barley loaves of bread. He directs the crowd to sit down on the ground. And picture the scene. 4,000 people, and again, they're probably women and children also. 4,000 people wondering, what's he going to do now? 4,000 people gathered around Jesus, seated on the ground. 4,000 people with their eyes fixed upon him. Notice what he does and notice the verbs. He took the seven loaves and having given thanks, lifting them up toward heaven as the Jews did, particularly in the Passover meal, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And when he broke them and gave these loaves to the disciples, it wasn't just, okay, you get a little microscopic fragment, you get a little microscopic fragment, you get a little microscopic fragment. Oops, we ran out, nothing for you. No, by his almighty power, the loaves were multiplied. And the fish, the few small fish, were multiplied as well, following the blessing of Jesus. It's a miracle. It's something we can't begin to understand. Let's say we had our fellowship meal on the third Sunday of the month. Enough for this congregation, but 5,000 people flooded in and wanted to eat. Well, there would not be enough food for them, I'm sure, unless the Lord chose to work miraculously and extend the chicken casserole so everyone could get some. But the people here ate of the bread and the fish, and they were satisfied. Their hunger was no longer there. Their tummies were full. They ate everything they could. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet, if you will. And the disciples gathered up the broken pieces. There were seven baskets full. Earlier, when Jesus had fed the multitude, there were 12 baskets full. And the church fathers say the 12 baskets represent the Jews. Jesus, being a Jew, came for the Jewish people, but the seven baskets full gathered here in a region that bordered Gentile territory represents the seven Gentile nations that surrounded Palestine. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, not just for the people living at his time, but for all the people who were ever born and ever would be born. You know what? He even came to die for you and me, members of this tiny church known as Mount Olive Lutheran Church. And there is an abundance of forgiveness from his gospel. Again, he doesn't just dole out a microscopic fragment of forgiveness and say, well, this takes care of one of your sins of this past week. No, he pours out upon you a million, a gazillion bushel baskets of his forgiveness, because one drop of Jesus' blood was sufficient to take away the sins of the whole world. And even though you receive in the sacrament of the altar a little wafer, in that wafer, as you partake of it in faith, there Jesus' body is according to his word, even if you don't partake of it in faith. But here's a word of warning. Partake of it in faith, because otherwise you're bringing condemnation upon yourself. Now, take Jesus at his word. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Eat and rejoice in the sacrament of the altar, because Jesus is providing for you. Jesus did some first article and fourth petition of the creed, of the Lord's Prayer stuff in the sacrament. And again, who did we say is the one who gives the things mentioned in the first article of the creed's explanation and in the explanation to the fourth petition? Who did we say did that? God. Jesus does the same thing here in a miraculous way. Who do you think did this? God. Jesus, the God-man, God become man in the incarnation, the God who assumed to himself our human nature so that he might suffer on the cross in our place, so that he might live a holy life in your place and mine, so that he might shed the holy precious blood that takes away the sin of the world. God had to become man in order to have flesh and blood. And man, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, had to be God in the flesh to offer the once and for all sacrifice for the sin of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man. We don't worship a dead man whose body and bones rotted in some tomb outside of Jerusalem. We worship the one who burst forth from that tomb in the resurrection on the third day. We worship the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We worship the one who ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And from that position of might and power and holiness, look what he does. He gives to you his word. He gives to you the forgiving word of the absolution that you are to hear and take and hold to yourself. My sins are forgiven. He gives to you to eat and drink of his body and blood. No mere man could do this. And no mere God could do this, because if our Lord Jesus Christ was not God become man with flesh and blood and a human nature like ours, there wouldn't be any body and blood here for you on the altar. It wouldn't even make a good hors d'oeuvre at a dinner party. But because Jesus is God, what he gives you in the bread and wine is himself. What he gives you is the food that endures to eternal life. Which brings us to the second and third article of the Creed, but we won't talk about that today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.